back to Badass Bitches Tarot for the week of January 13th through January 19th. I'm your host, Cardzy B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school and eventually turned that hobby into a tarot practice and creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot. I hope you guys are all having an amazing Capricorn season. January and Cap season can be hard, especially after the downtime of the holidays. We just moved through a powerful new moon eclipse on January 5th, and the moon is now in the waxing stage, moving from the first quarter in Pisces into Taurus, which means we can move from a more introspective, emo Pisces vibe to more of a grounded earth energy of Taurus this week. As you guys might remember, January's cards of the month are the Magician, aka the Lady Gaga card, the card that represents putting energy out into the world and changing the way that others see things. The Magician represents actualized potential. Just as Lady Gaga has changed the pop culture zeitgeist, January is likely to bring the successful forward motion of a goal or dream you may have already been working on up until this point. And January's other card is Six of Cups. I love this card. This is known as the Nostalgia card. Six of Cups often represents a reconnection with someone or something that reminds you of happiness from your past. If you spent time with friends or family over New Year's or plan to do so at some point in January, it's most likely going to be a really positive experience of connectivity, and that's really the vibe of Six of Cups. To hear more in-depth info about the cards for January and the 2019 year overview, you can go back to episode 24 of this podcast. Now for the card of the week. Two of Wands. All right, so in this OG Smith Rider-Waite deck, the Two of Wands shows a man in a red cape holding a small globe in one hand and a wand in the other, with the second wand sitting behind him. He's looking at a big body of water, seeming to contemplate if he should venture out or stay where he's comfortable. This card follows the Ace of Wands, which is the spark of imagination, often around a passion pursuit. The Two is almost like the planning stage of should I stay or should I go? Often when we get this card, it reminds us that taking the risk, taking that road that's less traveled, will provide the greater reward in the end. In the Badass Bitches Tarot deck, this is Abigail Breslin and Emily Bache of the Wonderless Girls, some of the favorite guests of the Badass Bitches Tarot podcast and two of my best friends. The Wonderless Girls had a really successful styling and blogging business based in New York City, but they had an opportunity to relocate their business and home to Nashville. It was definitely the bigger risk with a lot more unknown factors, but in 2017, they took the leap and it's definitely paid off for them. That is ultimate Two of Wands energy. I love this card for the upcoming week because it indicates that we have an interesting opportunity on the horizon. It's just a matter of whether we're ready to grasp it or not. Speaking of badass bitches who followed their passion and intuition, I'm so thrilled to introduce astrologist, tarot reader, and owner of progressive retail space, Shop the Eighth House, Sarah Calvaris. Hey, Sarah, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. So excited to have you on the podcast. I got such amazing feedback about being able to be a guest on the Eighth House podcast. So thank you for that. And if to anyone who's listening who hasn't heard it yet, go to the Eighth House podcast on iTunes and I think everywhere that podcasts are available, right?
Literally everywhere.
Well, so can you tell us a little bit about your background is in both astrology and tarot. Did you start with one over the other or did they kind of both come to you at the same time?
Yeah, sure. I have an eighth house stellium. So for those of you guys who are not astrology folks, like super quick astrology lesson, a stellium is a cluster of like 3 to 4 or more planets all within like one house or sign on a chart. So it means you have like laser focus for a particular, area of life, you know, that's represented on the chart. And so mine being in the eighth house meant that I was like a super witchy kid. So yeah, like it was, shit got weird. Can I curse on this podcast?
Oh yeah, of course.
Okay. I forgot to check. Yeah, so he's a super witchy kid.
Curse away.
And there was definitely always, like, interest in sort of anything that's occult or magic or all of that. It was super interesting to me. And that's all very, like, eighth house stuff. But it wasn't until it was in my like early 20s, I was living in the Atlanta area and I was having kind of a rough time, or like at least that's what I thought. And it just kind of felt like being in a pressure cooker. So I stumbled into this like metaphysical shop in Little Five Points. So if anybody listens to your podcast from Atlanta, you know, shout out Little Five Points. Awesome. That was where my friends and I spent like a ton of time. And I picked up this book on astrology. There was a section in it that was on Saturn returns, and it was like something just clicked. And I was like, oh shit, is this what's happening to me right now? So I go on like astro.com and pull my chart. And sure enough, like I'm literally in the first week of my first Saturn return. And so like, I was like, okay, there's definitely something to this astrology thing. So short answer to your question is astrology came first. After that, I was hooked, totally self-taught. I have read hundreds of books on it. I've pulled countless charts. I've watched talks. I've bought time with astrologers that I admire. But tarot did come later for me. I didn't start reading tarot until probably about a year after I started with astrology. And the only reason I picked tarot up was that there are certain cards that align with certain like astrological signs and planets.
Yeah.
So that was the link that brought me to tarot. And to this day, astrology is still a huge part of my tarot readings and vice versa. So if you ever have your chart done with me, like your natal chart, you can totally expect that I'm going to talk like astrology archetypes with you. And if I ever read your cards, you can totally expect that I'm going to talk about astrology references. Like it's the two are just, you can't break them apart in my mind now.
Yeah, no, I love that. That's kind of how it's funny. I always say that my understanding of astrology is through tarot. So I'm the opposite of like, my background is all about tarot. And that's really what I've like studied at length and understand. But because the cards are astrologically ruled, like that's helped me have an understanding of astrology. So that's interesting that that's your experience as well. And also I find that so many guests that I've had on the podcast that are healers, astrologists, whether it's, you know, tarot, Reiki, they kind of found that at their Saturn return. My experience was similar. I had a really horrific Saturn return, and then Saturn was in my sun sign of Sagittarius right after. And, you know, Sagittarius does not love Saturn. So it was like a hellacious 5 years for me. But I think that that's kind of a time that really tests you and also brings you back to like your core. When you were saying that you were kind of a, you know, destined to be this metaphysical witchy kid, I feel like Saturn return kind of makes you look at what you really love, what really drives you, and it brings those things back. So I love that that's when you found it as well. Saturn return, for people that don't know, what is that like, is it 27 to 29 years? What, I forget what the range is.
So it can be, it depends on how many times Saturn retrogrades, like, because some people like me get blessed with a super long Saturn return if Saturn decides that it wants to retrograde like a bajillion times. And some people get real lucky. My husband's was like, barely felt it, and it was super quick. But yeah, it'll happen around the time that you're like in your late 20s to early 30s. So typically between the ages of like 27 to 30 is when we see people start them, and they can last anywhere from like, I'd say the average is around a year is about what I see when I do Saturn return readings for people. Mine was like really long. It was, I want to say it was like two and a half years that it just kept going back over. It just kept retrograding. It kept going like back over its path. And I don't even like to think about it. Like coming out on the other side, I'm like, yes, I'm so glad I did this work. You know, being in it, I was like, when the fuck is this going to be over?
I almost died in literally, but mine was also, it was around 2.5 years and then almost 2 years in my sun sign. And it was just like, it felt never ending. Like you said, now that I'm on the other side, my life has drastically transformed. I feel like I'm doing the work that I am fulfilled by, that I am supposed to be doing in this lifetime. But yeah, Saturn return, no joke. So that was a whole, sidebar on that I didn't intend, but if you are in that or approaching that, like, yes,
My heart is with you. My heart is with you.
It gets better on the other side. After you kind of delved really deeply into astrology and you started reading for other people and then added tarot to your practice, was that what inspired you to create Shop the Eighth House? How did you come up with the Eighth House, and what's kind of your brand mission for the store?
So the store is an interesting animal. It has been through a few evolutions in my brain before it became a physical thing. Right now it's a shared project, which honestly, like, it did not start out that way, but I think that everybody should work in a serious partnership at least once in their life. It will teach you things about yourself that it's just incredible. Like, it's so nice to have someone else to support you and to check you when you're starting a business. And also, it's super exhausting. So it's nice to have another human to like share the ups and downs with. And it's just been a super valuable experience. But my half of the project is the Eighth House. And it's a retail space that is supporting like modern witches and social activists. My experience with, I hate to call it a metaphysical shop, because it's what we're going to be is so much more than that. But my experience with a lot of metaphysical shops has been that they can be a little dated, and I think that they can lack a certain, I don't know if it's like an edginess or a uniqueness, you know, to them, where it's like, you know, you walk into one, you can get a Smith Rider weight deck. You walk into the next, you can get the same Smith Rider weight deck.
Right.
So what I wanted to create in this is like a space where, one, we can support independent creators. Right. So that's number one. Nothing in the store comes wholesale from someone who is not an independent creator. Nothing from Amazon. None of that. Everything comes from an artist or creator who handmade this thing and sold it into our shop, which was super, super important to us. And the social activism part, I think that for me, I can't really have one without the other. Right. Like, if I'm working in healing modalities, it has to be for the causes that I, as a person, really care about. So I wanted to create a space to around building a community where it's a good thing to be a feminist. It's an okay thing to be a feminist and an intersectional feminist. So it's a store that's going to have a pretty broad range of, I mean, we've got indie tarot decks. We've got a kombucha bar. We've got the selection of books is just unreal. Like, I have to continually edit this book list because I'm a voracious reader. And if I had my way, like, every square inch of this store would be filled with books, but we are limited in space, so I cannot do that. we will have clothing that's independently made and designed and sold in here. Like, just anything you can imagine. And my partner Sam, she owns Marble Moon Studio, which is a holistic design brand, and seriously, she does some of the most insane interior design work I have ever seen. She and I met at a local festival. I thought her work was so cool, and so I invited her to be on my podcast. Then I ended up hiring her to do the downstairs of my house that my husband and I had just remodeled. And like, there was no furniture in our house when she came to do her podcast interview for me. So like, she showed up and I was like, I swear to God, I'm not going to murder you. It's like kind of the disclaimer I had to give at the door. Like, we just refinished the floors. That's why there's no furniture. I'm really not planning to stab you. I'm sure she thought it was insane. But yeah, at the time I was planning on opening the Eighth House alone. She had her own plans. She was working in Philly and had her own plans for an eventual storefront for her business. But she and I were in constant communication while she was working on my house. And during the time that I was trying to get the store space that was going to be just my own, the universe sort of removed that option for me, like tower style.
Yeah.
So I was defeated for like an hour. I'm an Aries sun, so we don't really like hang on to that kind of stuff for too long. But then, yeah, she and I were talking and we realized that the answer was like right in front of us, like partner up and share a space. And as you taught me when you were on my podcast, I was in a lover's year. in 2018. So the partnership felt super right, you know, and our businesses are similar and complementary and very modern and edgy, but they're different enough that they don't compete from a business standpoint, and it cuts our operating costs in half for both of us. Also, like, we're basically the same person, and I can't speak for her, but like, I never really get tired of hanging out with her. So it made sense. But the end goal, we've gone like full circle with this. The end goal for the space is to create like a safe and inclusive and informative space for those who are like exploring and integrating spirituality and social justice into their lives, and more specifically, like looking to do it in a really beautiful and modern way. So that last night we had a little girl come by, and we were working in the storefront windows, and she wanted a tarot deck. And I was like, yes, we are going to create a generation of little witches here, and it's going to be amazing.
I love everything about that. I know my niece, I mean, she's not that little, she's going to be 12 this year, but she's very into tarot, into the metaphysical world. And I think it's so great. I learned really young. And I think it's something that when you learn young, I always tell people it's like learning a language as a child, where it becomes so much more intuitive and second nature than, you know, learning later in life. So I think that that's beautiful that you're creating a space that is going to, you know, have that available to adults and younger generations as well. When do you guys, it's March that you guys open, right?
March 1st. So it is the day that Venus moves into Aquarius, and that is the theme of our opening. So it's like everything is very celestial, lots of flowers. It's a Venus and Aquarius themed opening.
Oh my God. I cannot wait. I'm definitely going to be buying like one of everything. I know, I'm so excited. Just from your online at shoptheeighthhouse.com, it's everything you're saying. It's a lot of kind of unique indie tarot decks. It's books that I have not necessarily like read before, and I've read a ton about tarot and astrology as well, and I think that you guys have a really great offering. So in the meantime, the website's a great resource, but I can't wait until you have the brick and mortar location. I know that you also do some kind of experiential events. Are you doing any in between now and the opening? Because you did the Coven cocktails in the fall. Are there any other events that you guys are working on?
So we're not doing any between now and the opening, just because we've been in this space for 10 days. We have completely painted the outside of a historic building.
Oh my God.
We have redone two glass window displays. We have painted the entire interior. We are putting together furniture every day. Like, the amount of work that comes with setting this up is like, we will not be able to plan any events in January and February to be able to open for March 1st.
Right.
But, excuse me, we will be opening March 1st, and we are working on a massive calendar. So we have, Coven Cocktails is the monthly event. And now that we're in the shop, most of those will be taking place here. And we did the floor layout so that we can move everything in the shop around for whatever kind of event we want to do. But in addition to that, we have a huge list of, like, we're going to have guest speakers, guest readers, workshops. We're looking at doing a mini conference here, like a tarot and astrology conference, potentially. We have so many events in the works. So at a minimum, Sam and I were talking last night, we want to try to do 2 to 3 events on top of a Coven cocktail every single month in the space. And then I also we do readings at the shop. We have a resident Reiki healer here, Reiki practitioner. She is Devon Rooney, and we've got a whole private setup for her in the back of the store, and she's magical as fuck. Like, she's a dear friend of mine. I have had several sessions with her. She is amazing. So we have a lot of service and experiential offerings here. So once we're up, we're taking a break until March 1st. But once we're up March 1st, like, it's full swing. Everything's on.
Oh my God, I'm so excited for that. So, okay, in addition to, and I have spoken to Devon, I did a reading with her, and she's incredible. I actually want to talk to her more about her Reiki practice on the podcast in the future, but I did a numerology tarot reading for her, and she is incredible and such good energy. So I'm excited to hear more about her practices as well. In terms of your offerings in the shop, you're doing tarot and chart readings?
I am, yeah. So I do all kinds of chart readings. I do synastry chart readings, transit chart readings, natal chart readings. I'm learning how to do relocated charts. So Alice Yang spoke at the Broadly Astrology Conference in Brooklyn, was it last month? It was last month. And they did an incredible talk on chart relocation. And so I've been doing some research into that, and I'm going to be carrying their book in the store as well, which is a fabulous book on astrology and storytelling. So that's a new offering that's probably going to be coming soon. But yeah, all sorts of readings and services available.
Amazing. So I was on your site looking at kind of your offerings, and in addition to tarot and then, you know, more traditional natal chart readings, you have a service including synastry chart readings. For people that aren't familiar with that, what does that involve?
So our natal charts, or any chart really, captures the moment that something happens. It's like a map of the heavens, right, at the time that you're trying to capture. So for a natal chart, it's the time that you were born. And the idea is that whenever you're creating something, it takes on the characteristics of the heavens at that moment. And it's anyone studies Carl Jung that listens to this, it's very much like a Jungian synchronicity, sort of a mirroring thing. So what happens when you do a transit or a synastry chart is that we take the natal chart. And for a transit chart, we would overlay the current chart of what's going on in the sky to see how the current astrological weather is affecting your natal chart or how you may be experiencing it. And then a synastry chart, most traditionally, is going to be two people's natal charts. Typically, it's like a person and a family member. I've done a lot, like people who are trying to work through shit with their moms or dads, and they'll want like a synastry reading done of their chart overlaid with a parent's chart. Or relationships, of course, where someone will want their natal chart overlaid with a partner or potential partner's natal chart. But I have also had some interesting ones where people have wanted like their wedding date. So like, of course, the day and time that you get married, that chart for that moment is going to be the energy that your marriage takes on, right? So I've had people like give me their wedding date in time, and then like have me overlay like progressions for the year and in terms of like current astrological weather to see like how the year is going to affect their marriage. So synastry charts can be as simple or as complex as you want them to be, but the general definition for a synastry chart is that you're overlaying two charts together and seeing how they interact with one another.
That's so cool. I've heard a little bit about, and mostly just, you know, couples doing them. But I didn't realize that you can go like as far as into an actual date and time. That's so interesting and very cool.
Well, there's a whole thing right now. So like the United States, if you look at the chart, I guess, for the United States creation, and I mean, I say this in air quotes because like, there were definitely people here before
right.
White people came over and did what they did. But the U.S. is actually having some really severe Pluto stuff right now. And it's interesting if you look at like our political climate, we have Trump and all this stuff that's going on. And it's like the chart reflects the intensity for the country for what we're experiencing. And fun fact, I did for Mother's Day last year, I made my mother a huge astrological scrapbook. It was like 60 plus pages. I did her chart super in depth, and then I did synastry charts for her and each of her children to examine her relationship with each one. I did all this like fancy calligraphy and stuff on it, and it took me months, but it was like the most beautiful gift I've ever made anybody, and it was like a synastry chart.
Oh my God, that's incredible. That's so cool. I love that. I definitely am going to get a chart reading with you. That sounds incredible. I am like tragically single right now, so I have no partner other than, you know, my little teacup Pomeranian, but I would love to just get a little chart reading with you. One of the questions I've been asking people in the month of January on the podcast is, since we're kind of, you know, in the first month of 2019, Do you have any recommendations for practices or rituals that you encourage us working with kind of into our daily routine? Because a lot of people are, you know, starting to get into meditation or getting more intense in their fitness routines at the beginning of the year. Is there anything kind of on a spiritual, like ritualistic level that you recommend that's easy to work into your day to day?
Yeah, so there's a few things that I can offer up here. 2019, from an astrological standpoint, is definitely going, like if you look at the first few moments of the year, the chart, what it looks like, this is a year for getting shit done. So there's a lot of intense, like Capricorn, Sagittarius, and Aries energy that's kicking off 2019. Saturn is in Capricorn, which is its natural home. Jupiter is in Sag, which is, well, like not now. I should preface, like in the first minutes of 2019, you know, Jupiter was in Sag and Mars was in Aries. So when you have all three of those planets like in their natural home, the energy is really focused for hard work and getting things done. And especially that Mars and Aries energy, it's like, it feels like rapid progress. So if I had to explain the energy in terms of like tarot cards, it's a very Eight of Pentacles and Eight of Wands feel to me, is like that's the astrological feel of 2019, is if you have like the combo of those two cards.
Oh, I love
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily that those cards have any specific ties to those astrological placements, but it's just like what those placements, when you take them all together, sort of feel like to me from a tarot standpoint.
No, I like that was a good translation for me to understand, so I appreciate that.
But like in the beginning of the year, I do a big meditation and reflection on kind of what the astrological weather is going to be like and what the tarot energy feels like to focus myself. So if you're an altar person, I would even maybe recommend like putting these two cards up on your altar just so like when you walk past them, you're like, okay, that's what this year is about. If you're a journal person, you can journal about that, you know, to focus your energy. But here's like my real big hack, and like, you're going to laugh at me. You're going to think I'm a nerd. Devon and Sam both laughed at me until they saw it. And then the joke was on them because they wanted to do it too. But like, I'm a Virgo ascendant. So I actually enter all of my data for the tarot cards that I pull for myself. Every single card is documented for the year into a tarot tracker that I made in Airtable. So there are fields to track literally everything about each reading that I do for myself in the year. So I'm not even kidding. I run statistics. So I graph trends. I track what decks are good for different types of reading. I look at what cards I'm pulling the most. I look at what suits I'm pulling the most. I look at how many reversals I'm getting because I read reversals. So for 2019 so far, the card that I've pulled the most is the Page of Swords, followed by the Queen of Pentacles and the Queen of Wands. And that's like, I ran statistics on it. Like I said, people laughed at me when I did this. It comes from a place of love, of course. I mean, they know me. They know that I'm kind of a particular person.
Oh, I love that. That's definitely, I mean, I take photos of all of mine and have them in an album in my iPhone. But no, I love the statistic use on that. That's amazing. There needs to be an app that does this. I feel like you and I in the future should do an app together. That's incredible.
I mean, we could. But like, why not? We live in a technological era. Let the software do the heavy lifting for you. Like, let it analyze your data, and then you can focus on like the personal work at hand that like these card trends are asking of you.
Yeah.
Like, so that's my hack. That's what I do. So I read every day for myself, no exceptions, even if it's just a single card pull and everything goes in that Airtable. You can do it in Excel too, but yeah. I prefer Airtable.
Yeah. Oh my God. I love that. All right. So that's incredible. I'm actually gonna work that into my practice now. Cause like I said, I do every day as well, but I just take the photos of it. But I love that you can get kind of the statistics around how often and frequently you're pulling certain cards.
I have graphs. Like, it's really particular. I'm a Virgo ascendant. Like, it's bad.
Yes, I know a lot. My mom's a Virgo. I know a lot of Virgos, but I appreciate that about Virgo. Okay, so because we're at the end of the half hour, I ask every guest this, and I always say I love to ask people that actually read tarot the most because they give the most interesting, juiciest answers. What is your favorite card in the deck and why?
Oh, the Queen of Wands, just the boss. Like I look at the tarot from an elemental standpoint, and the queens are a water energy, wands are a fire energy, and I love that water fire blend. It's courageous, determined, like totally in tune with its center, it's unapologetic. So this is a card that I call on for support a lot. Like if I'm feeling tired or insecure, unmotivated or whatever, I remind myself that the Queen of Wands lives in me and everyone else, and I can tap into it like anytime that I need to. So it helps remind me, particularly of, I can really spiral mentally in kind of a bad way. So it reminds me of the importance of properly focused energy. Like I can spend my energy being afraid or being self-critical, or I can redirect that same energy into physically working on a new project that I'm passionate about. And like the latter being the option that's going to yield the most satisfaction in the long run for me.
I love that. Yeah. I love, King of Wands is the card I made myself. So I love the whole court of the wands. So excellent answer. Is there a card that's your least favorite? Like when you pull it for yourself, you're like, not this one.
Oh yeah. it's going to be an unpopular opinion because it's not like the Tower or the Devil. Remember, I have an eighth house stellium, so those aren't subjects that make me uncomfortable.
Right,
the least favorite card for me is the Empress, straight up. we have a complicated relationship. Like I'm an Aries sun, so I'm really much more comfortable in that like emperor role. Mm-hmm. And I'm really great at giving, but I struggle with receiving. So when it pops up, I'm just like, I know it wants me to examine some stuff that's super deep in my psyche. And I hate the idea that the Empress is only a mother. Like being a mother is one part of the Empress, but the concept of the Empress is much larger. Right. And to add to that, I have a lot of conflicting feelings around the motherhood for myself. So it activates that in me when I pull it. And I can only do the work around this card in small chunks. So it's not like I hate the Empress and I know the work is good for me, but when I pull it, it's just a card that it's like, I can only take this in small doses.
No, that's an interesting answer. I like that. Is there a card that you feel that you embody? Like if you were going to, you know, have a deck that you were one of the 78 cards, is there a card that you think represents you the most accurately?
It's tattooed on my body, the Magician.
Oh, I love
Yeah, I have a Virgo ascendant. So Mercury is actually my chart ruler. It shares dual rulership over Virgo and Gemini, and the Magician is Mercury's card. So I've always been really great with channeling ideas into action. And if I want something badly enough, like I will get it. I will work as long and as hard as I need to in order to make it real. And like, I feel most alive when I'm creating something. So the Magician.
Yeah, I think like most people love that card. I love that card too. I made it Lady Gaga in the deck that I created, and I love the energy of the Magician and Mercury's influence on it. So amazing. Well, thank you so much, Sarah. I cannot wait to come visit the eighth house in person. In the meantime, you do have a lot of great product for sale on shoptheeighthhouse.com and your Instagram at shoptheeighthhouse. So thank you so much for making time for us today, and I cannot wait to for the opening in March. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. And yes, please come down, come to the opening.
Yes.
We'd love to see you.
All right. How incredible is Sarah? If you haven't already, check out shoptheeighthhouse.com and her brick and mortar location coming this March. I can't wait to do some in-store reading events and buy one of everything because she has some really incredibly hard to find decks and some awesome accessories. So this week, we have a coming out of the spiritual closet story from Jana in San Diego. Jana writes, "Hi Cardsy, I just got your tarot deck for Christmas and I'm so in love with it." Aw, thanks Jana. "I know most of the coming out of the spiritual closet stories involve smudging, so I'm probably not that original, but I usually just smudge with Palo Santo in the privacy of my own home." That's more than me. I freaking smudge everywhere. But anyway, Jana writes, "I was at work last week and one of my coworkers asked if I had gone to yoga at lunch. I thought this was an odd and very specific question, so I just shook my head and said, 'No, why do you ask?' She replied that I smelled like a yoga studio. I assume it was the Palo Santo, frowny face. OMG. Okay. I would take that as a compliment, Jana, because Palo Santo is awesome. And this just means that your aura is smooth and chill, where hers is all bajiggity and judgy. I'm sorry. This is like, that's a funny and ridiculous story. And I actually have a very similar coworker, but for that, I'm going to give you a free reading. So please message me on the website, badassbitchestarot.com, or on my Instagram at cardsyb with your Instagram. And I will hook you up with a free reading, but keep up the good work smudging. You're doing a great job. So before we head out, to quickly recap, this month we have the Magician, who brings us exciting new things to fruition that have been in the works, and the Six of Cups, which is bringing in love and connection that might be reminiscent of a happy time from our past. This week also brings the Two of Wands, an opportunity that will be a chance to choose between two options, one that's often a little bit scarier and one that's safer. The message in Two of Wands reminds us that taking the bigger risk, though scary, often provides the greater reward. Don't forget to check out the new Instagram Live segment tonight, Sundays, every Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in for an overview of the upcoming week and a chance to ask your own questions for a free live mini reading. You can also send your questions through in advance through badassbitchestarot.com or Instagram, and that way you ensure that you get a chance for me to do a mini reading on your question. A lot of people that are not in a convenient time zone that corresponds with 8 p.m. Eastern do write me in advance, and I'll make sure I get to your question. Also, I have some great events still coming in January. Friday nights at Slate on 21st Street between 5th and 6th, an awesome night with burlesque performers, suspension artists, snake charmers. There are more and crazier performers every week, so it's definitely worth checking out. And I will be there doing readings from 10:30 to 11:30. Also, if you're looking for an incredible spring retreat, I'm a featured reader at Rise Gathering May 31st to June 2nd, and you can get $100 off with the code CARDZ2019 at risegatherings.com. Follow at CARDZB on Instagram and badassbitchestarot.com, as I'm always adding more weekly events every week, so stay tuned. Thank you so much for listening, and as always, stay magical AF.